Hi there, I'm Anne-Marie McQueen, editor of Live Healthy, and this is the Live Healthy podcast. Each week we interview health and wellness leaders and talk about all the things that are good for you, which you can also read about in our online magazine, the only one of its kind for men and women in the UAE.
Today I'm speaking with Josh Davies. He's head of strength and conditioning at WellFit, Dubai's state-of-the-art multi-sport fitness center dedicated to motivating and educating UAE youth and helping them apply active living to their everyday lives. With a background in professional rugby and an eight-year career as a regionals-level CrossFit athlete, Josh knows a thing or two about training and competing at the highest sporting level. He also has a master's degree in strength and conditioning and is currently doing his PhD, researching muscular and neuromuscular responses to strength training in the field of sports science with a focus on youth athletes. He joins us to speak all about strength and power development in youth, motivating kids to be active, and about how those early fitness habits can set children up for the rest of their lives. Josh, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm happy to talk to you about fit kids today.
Great. Yeah, me too. I'm excited.
Well, you hear a lot in the UAE, and it's not about fit kids. You hear about overweight kids and sedentary kids and the problem. And I mean, at WellFit, first of all, at WellFit, you don't see these kids, right? You see kids who are motivated to move, or?
Well, we have a mixed bunch, really. We're an all-in sort of inclusive program. We offer sort of many different opportunities for kids to come in and sort of capitalize on activities we have. And we do have kids which are sedentary, with their parents sort of try to push them towards the programs we have a little bit more, which is sort of great to see. And I think it's becoming more of a recognized program that, you know, not all activities look the same with regards to gamification for children and things like that should be a huge part of their fitness journey.
Okay. So tell me about what you do there. How do kids come to you? What's the regime? What do you get them doing?
Yeah, sure. So I'll give you a little bit about myself to begin with. So I'm actually a PhD sports science student. I'm probably one of the only doctoral students this side of the GCC in what I do. I've also got a master's with distinction in strength and conditioning, and I front up our strength and conditioning department at WellFit. So what essentially we offer is an array of different programs which give children an opportunity to be able to come into our facility and capitalize on using their bodies either in a fun environment or a training environment, and based off of what their parents feel is their needs to push them towards, we can have them accommodate into any of our programs. I'll go on to talk a little bit about like our side of our youth high performance program in a little while, but you know, most of our programs, like I said before, do have gamification at the forefront of it, where fun really should be at the forefront of these sessions, because we are dealing with specialty populations, which are children.
Okay. So tell me, you know, I don't know anything about this. So when you say gamification and adding fun, is it just like, say, what's an example of what it shouldn't be and what it is?
Absolutely. So, you know, we're looking at very indirect training methods, which get the kids moving and active without really them knowing. So you think like games like Stuck in the Mud, are really, really applicable in what we do. We have a program which orientates things like, you know, lights and games on the floor, where they're reactive drills, where they have to run 10 meters to touch their light and back. And they're not actually thinking about training. And we have things like Animal Flow as well, where they're hitting really difficult positions, but, you know, they're more thinking about how the animal moves and how it replicates them to move. And actually, when they do go into sort of adulthood and through adolescence, that those things really do play a role in making them move better, and obviously health orientated aspects as well.
Okay. So they come, they do a session for how long? Like, how does it work?
So we have a, like I said, our program is vast. We have an array of different offerings. They could last anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes, or some that even go on to the hour. But I mean, it's not uncommon to have kids in our facility for 2 to 3 hours because we offer so much for them at such a good rate as well in the UAE. So they have, you know, they have obstacles, which is very much like a parkour theme where there's lots of running, jumping, etc. We have our mini Marines program where, you know, games like dodgeball and throwing and catching and jumping are really part of the program. As I mentioned before, we have our pod walls, which is very visual. You see lots of lights on the floor where they have to go and tap the light, etc. And we also have kids yoga where they're focusing on a little bit on flexibility. So, you know, these classes do range in time, but, you know, all offer a really good insight to these kids to, you know, dabble in many different things and see what they find fun.
I always notice when I'm with my niece and nephew, like my nephew is so strong and my niece too. They're just already so strong. It's like they have the strength and then we lose it. That's what, you know, yeah. Like on the monkey bars, I can't even imagine. He's just scrambling. He's 9. He's scrambling across the monkey bars like nothing. I can't even do one, you know, like what happens?
So, yeah, well, you know, this is a, like, you know, the science behind this essentially is, you know, kids all go through different maturation, like growth at different times. We have something called chronological age, which is how old the child is. And then we have biological age, which is where they actually are in that growth development through puberty, et cetera. So when we look at those things, we can see kids excel at certain times, but then to be able, it's the use it or lose it aspect, right? If these kids aren't active and they don't use, you know, the huge bouts of growth they have, they will lose it to a certain extent. And of course, when you start growing and things like weight is added on, it then becomes one of those things where your muscles can't catch up to be able to help you lift your own body weight, perform at certain tasks which are required from you, which is why training children from a neural perspective, so things that they struggle with like strength and power early on and coordination, is really vital to quote unquote long-term athletic development, which is what all the evidence is based off of, is an LTAD framework, which stands for long-term athletic development framework, which should essentially match the training to where the child is in their biological age, so their growth and development, as well as their chronological age, but also what have they done in their training history in the past at certain ages as well.
Okay, I mean, this has come so far. I used to be a competitive figure skater, and I always feel that I've injured myself terribly doing that. And I always think, like, so when you're putting a kid in a sport, what kind of things do you have to watch out for them down the road to keep?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really good question. So what you got to remember about children is, one, muscle growth lags behind bone growth. So we see kids, it's like the Stretch Armstrong effect, you know, they get really long limbs, but the muscle lags behind that. So they don't necessarily fill out. So what they have to deal with as children is then trying to keep control of limbs without the muscle mass or adequate muscle mass to support it. So as they go through into sport, you look at the physical demands which children are now involved with in their sports. You know, we get kids who are like very, very ahead of growth. And then you could see a 16-year-old who looks very different to another 16-year-old. Maybe they look around about the age of 12. So things like biobanding, so grouping kids together based off of where they are in maturation, is really, really important. But it's very obvious then, if you had a child which weighs 75 kilos versus a child which weighs 45, you know, does that promote fair play? Does that promote safety? Absolutely not. So what we look from a neural perspective is, when we train children to move better and coordinate their limbs, we aren't just training them to be muscularly strong. It's more about how they can control those movement deficiencies, which come along with such big growth spurts throughout their time, through going through things like puberty, et cetera, which really has, you know, performance enhancement aspects through these stages. And, you know, for most children as well, going through sport, if they are, you know, looking to maybe carry it on to further extent into a semi-professional realm, or maybe even a good club level, these things are really, really important to help them get the best opportunity to allow them to do so.
Okay. With all of your knowledge, I'm curious about overweight kids, about kids losing weight. You know, so much has changed in my lifetime about the role of exercise and weight loss. Well, actually now it's much more about food. What's the thinking about helping children who have become obese lose that weight? What's the safest way to do it? What's some do's, some don'ts?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good question. I mean, what we've got to look at first is their physical activity and what are they doing? There's plenty of, like I've mentioned things like jumping, throwing, catching, but obviously for a very overweight young male or female, that then creates more demands on joints where injury is very common through these stages of growth, things like Osgood's, lower back pain, etc. So we've got to look at what are they capable of doing and sort of, is it going to be helpful for them to minimize things like physical contact with the ground? So they're not jumping. Are they just moving? Kids are very aerobic in nature, meaning they find it really, really easy to recover because they can't produce much strength and power output. So things which are very short bouts of quite high intensity is very applicable. But if you've got an overweight child, likelihood is that they're not actually into training anyway, which is where that gamification creeps back in. And how can we interact with the child to keep it fun while also not feeling like, you know, it's very psychological damaging to how they may see exercise further on down the line.
Mm-hmm. What about, you know, I remember when I was in high school, they always said, get the kids in sports, because those are the kids who didn't get in trouble, especially team sports. You know, they were the ones who didn't go down a wrong path. Have you seen this? And can you talk a little bit about the correlation of being part of something bigger and, you know, just the whole thing, just fitness in growing up into an adult who doesn't lose their way?
Yeah, for sure. I think any sort of accountability in a sport is, you know, the characteristics to grow as a personality, to deal with many different personalities within a group, and then help you to take that and promote that into even your work. And I think that's something which is overlooked, is that mental side of things being set up for success actually resonates with us very, very early. We have something called neuroplasticity, which is, you know, kids' brains are like sponges. So if you've had nothing but bad experiences with sort of exercise or sport very early on, likelihood is you're probably going to want to stay away from it further on down the line. But the people who usually partake in sport can turn their hand to most things, and maybe they enjoy it a little bit more. Therefore, when it carries on over to all aspects of their life, you know, it turns into a very positive mental attitude where they feel accountable to the people they've had, because that success feeling where we get all that, you know, rush of endorphins and we feel really, really good. It's one of those things where people want to keep that refreshed with them. And I think that's where it lies. There's actually bad experiences in the past. And this is why much of the research has changed, is actually setting children up for success early on can also have health benefits, not just mentally and physically, but also can promote all aspects of their life, because there's a lot of anxiety which surrounds the gym. But you've got to look about where that resonates. And can it resonate from a child? Well, arguably, yes, because their ability to learn and absorb is heightened during that age. So any bad experience will have a knock-on effect then to not wanting to stay in sport future on in the future.
What do you do about kids who are trepidatious, who don't want to do it? Like, a lot of parents have trouble dealing with their kids and forcing them. If they, you know, what's forcing a kid to do something for their own good? What's hurting them? You know, we're in such a strange time where no one wants to have their feelings hurt. Like, where do you fall on that spectrum?
Yeah, I mean, it's an ongoing relationship. We work closely with parents in all of our programs to sort of get over that obstacle. And we've got a great coaching team which does a fantastic job of that. And if you recognize that, you know, that personality within someone, it's always about referring it back to how much fun they can have. Because I think, like you say, you know, people view exercise as sort of this high intensity, not very nice environment. And actually, that's not what it is. And, you know, for me, adapting your coaching style to that individual is, you know, vital to keeping them engaged into a program where they want to stay. And we do a great job of that at Wellfit. And it really is at the forefront of our program that our coaches have the ability to adapt that and work with parents, but also recognize that within children early on, which is why, you know, I'll refer it back to when we first started the conversation, was that gamification. We've got to almost sometimes think on our feet to change it, to make that kid interact a little bit earlier on with us.
What about the UAE doesn't have, as far as I know, the same structure that I'm used to in Canada. Maybe you're used to where you come back home, where there's this, you know, a whole team sport structure and kids start playing, you know, football and they start skating and playing hockey and all this stuff when they're young. And then they pass, the UA doesn't really have this. It's more.
No. Yeah. So it, there's no, like with regards to long-term athlete development, sort of, as you know, professional sport, this side of the water isn't huge, which is why anyone sort of partaking in sport usually leaves the UAE to sort of pursue a career elsewhere. You know, I do feel like that's one of the things lacking, but also the sort of lack of strength and conditioning coaches and educated strength and conditioning coaches this side of the water is a big part of that. And, you know, we run the Youth High Performance Program, which we essentially are setting kids up, if they do want to leave and go overseas, that they have the best chance for success in our strength and conditioning program, because we're matching their training with the individual, etc. So I don't actually know if it will ever exist here in the UAE. I like to think differently, but we are quite behind times with regards to things like team sports and progressing into team sports. There is some. The rugby here is quite good. And I know the netball is as well. And obviously we have things here like the rugby sevens, but that's a lot of sports then brought from overseas to partake in the UAE. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think there is room for it. How long that would take is hard to say.
Okay. What's your take on the obesity problem with kids and teens in the, you know, that you see here? What's your take on the whole situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's a population, I think, where things like being outside at this time of the year becomes very hard to want to go out and exercise. Lack of clubs like ours, which offer such an array of tasks that the kids can choose from, is quite hard to come by. And we're looking to, well, we are expanding. We've just taken over a Maidan location. And we're looking to promote that across all facilities. So, you know, kids are lucky enough to have access to programs where it's not just training and it is that fun aspect. And I think the obesity pandemic, really, we want to overcome that by educating parents and kids alike that it's not just about coming in and seeing what you see on the TV and seeing people lift weights, because I feel like half of the struggle for most people is miseducation around training, especially in young populations. So, you know, one of our tasks is to go into schools and educate, you know, teachers and the children about how different training looks for them versus an adult. And that's really important. And I think, you know, the more they can aspire to people and look up to people who also are in the industry, is very nice than to think it's almost, you know, cool and it's more accepted, no matter how you look or how scary it can be. You know, everyone's welcome with open arms and it can definitely be viewed differently.
And what's the thinking on kids gaining weight, lifting weights? Sorry. What's like, when is a kid supposed to start that, or can they start it?
So this is what's sort of the old wives' tale of our kids shouldn't lift weights because it stunts their growth. When actually it's not true. That's very anecdotal, meaning there's no evidence to back that. You know, like I said before, kids naturally lack the ability to express strength and power, and they're very aerobic in nature, so they recover very, very well. So from a neural aspect, those new neural connections we can make in the brain, because their ability to learn is so heightened, what we're teaching them to do is that limb control and that brain signaling to the muscles can also increase, but bone density also increases as well during these ages, meaning the bones become stronger. So as long as the child is competent and physically literate enough to follow instructions and move well, there's no limit cutoff to when a child can lift weights. But obviously a child lifting weights versus an adult lifting weights looks very different. I think everyone, when we say child lifting weights, they think, oh, they've got a big barbell on their back, etc. But no, it's more the feedback we get from small kettlebells in their hand, their ability to receive coaching feedback and visually learn as well, and then understand positions. And it's not necessarily positions they get put into in their sport, which is why strength and conditioning is such a good foundation. And across all the research we look at, there's no better prerequisite for injury prevention than being strong. So the stronger we are, the more resilient we are to injuries, and the greater we can keep injuries at bay, which is fundamental for these children, especially if they're partaking in things like contact sports, which most sports are, right? So there's no limit.
Have you trained both adults and children?
Yeah, so I've only recently gone into academia. I've had 13 years practical experience. I come from a professional rugby background, and I've been a good CrossFit athlete for the past 10 years. And throughout my whole career on both sides, I used to live out in New Zealand. I've trained very young children who are now All Blacks as well in rugby. So I've trained both equally the same amount from a very young age.
So what's the biggest difference between training adults and training kids?
So one is the ability to follow instructions. Obviously, we see huge movement deficiencies, not just in children, but in adults as well. But the progression children have versus an adult to be able to adapt movement patterns is so much easier within children because they're very moldable. You think about a bad habit you've had for the past 5 to 10 years, trying to reverse that becomes very, very hard. For most children, they haven't had that repetitive nature of being in bad habits, meaning it could take 1, 2, 3 sessions then to put them back into good habits, which then create lifelong adaptations that will promote better moving, you know, more safe moving in an environment where they're under intensity, as an example, in the sport. So main difference is the ability to change children's movement is very, very quick, where in an adult it can be very slow, a very slow process.
Who complains more?
Definitely the adults.
Just in terms of mental health, because we hear so much about mental health, and you know, sort of your impression of setting people up for good mental health and starting physical activity in as young as possible. What's the correlation?
Yeah, I mean, I think it relates back to what I was saying earlier, that, you know, setting kids up for success as much as we can has fantastic outcomes in the future of what they're going to be doing. And I think, you know, what I see in adults actually is the ability to be successful in something they can't turn their hand to is a lot. It takes a lot longer for them to do it because it's a longer process. With children, you know, we've got to integrate that into every session, where every session has a goal, every session not necessarily rewarded, but the small outcomes are getting the most benefit out of them. We have to reiterate that as coaches, because if you leave a session feeling like you've achieved something, that's fundamental to keep you coming back. And children will always need that with their mental health, and it needs to happen early on, because habits need to be set at these age groups, because it will stay with them throughout the rest of their adulthood, etc.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. That's great. I really appreciate your expertise. Keep those kids moving.
You're very welcome. Michelle, thank you so much.
That's it for this week. If you liked the podcast, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. We'll see you next time on the Live Healthy podcast.